you ever feel angry? Are you paralyzed by your anger? Do you feel yourself with butterflies in your stomach a lot? Do you get headaches? Are you really frustrated? Do you ever get to the point where you're going to blow up and you're afraid that if you blow up, you're going to blow away all your friends and all your coworkers? Chances are, all of this behavior is a symptom of the fact that you're not expressing your anger. We can assertively express our anger if we handle our anger assertively. We complain and complain and complain. I'm angry. So what do? I want raise. I want to go home. I want sex. I want a cookie. I want raise. I want to go home. I want sex. I want a cookie.
This is Midnight with my co-host,
El Gordo Uno.
And the intro music you just heard was Evolution Control Committee with I Want a Cookie. And this is our new radio show, and we've yet to come up with a name for it. So if you'd like to help us out with that, you can email us at radio@sh4dow.org. That's radio@shadow.org. And give us suggestions for one.
Nothing will be turned down. I mean, it's got a sound to it.
Nothing will be turned down. We're too desperate to turn things down.
Indeed.
All right, so I'm going to start off with a Pizza Hut social engineering segment, I'll call it. Some people that you may have heard of, I think they're called the Broken. Have you heard of them?
Oh, no.
No?
Nothing at all, really.
Oh, well, there are these two or four lamers who work for Tech TV, and they decided to do a little segment on how to get free pizza from a little pizza place down where they live, and I thought it was horribly, horribly done. They had you, like, walk in behind this group of people and get their names and what they ordered down.
Oh, that's not hard at all.
It's not hard. It's just kind of pointless. So they had you walk in and get their names and what they ordered down and then call back and have them make you a pizza because there was, like, a hard piece of bacon on your pizza. And it's really so much more easy than that. The problem is that Pizza Hut, a very large chain that people may have heard of, have you heard of them?
I think I've heard something.
Yeah. Pizza Hut, this very large chain, has this big problem. The customer is always right, no matter what. So if, let's say, me, the customer, calls up and they answer, "Hello, this is Pizza Hut. Will this be for delivery or carry out?" I tell the person on the other end of the phone that they owe me a free pizza. I, the customer, am right. Now, some people who may be listening to this would think, but they can't be that stupid, can they? And I can attest to the fact that, yes, they can be that stupid.
Whoa.
So, really, the process goes, you call them up, you ask for a delivery, and you say, "I ordered a pizza a week ago. And it was crappy. So I called, it was a Friday night, and I complained. And this chick sounded really, really busy and really hurried, and she told me that I could just have my next two large pizzas for free. So I want those for free."
That's about as cheap and easy as it gets.
Yeah, it's free pizza, and they sometimes will deliver it to your door for the low, low price of $1.09.
That's, like, not even the cost of gas these days.
But if you do this, you have to tip the delivery person, because if you don't, then I will personally come to your house and kill you.
Okay, if they're trying to get pizza for free, do you really think they're going to give the guy a tip? They're obviously a greedy Jewish bastard. It's not going to happen.
Hey, now, let's not have any of that religious hatred on here.
Remember, folks, you heard that on our radio show. Yeah, give us credit if you, like, reprint that or anything.
All right. And, yeah, so next week, I'm thinking that we're going to, I should probably demonstrate the easiness of getting a free pizza. So I'm thinking I'm going to have the Pizza Hut in where I used to work. Hopefully, someone I don't know will answer the phone. I'm going to get them to send a free pizza to a random house.
Hey, there's always my house.
There's always your house.
I'm open for a free pizza.
I don't know, but I have a feeling that your mom would kind of be surprised if a pizza delivery guy just showed up at your door wanting to hand you a pizza.
Okay, I don't know if you've ever seen my mom, but she's going to turn down pretty soon.
Okay.
That was me. That was me. We can edit that out. Right?
So, yeah, I'm on a cordless phone. Its bass is downstairs, so I probably sound really, really shitty right now.
I don't know. You sound fine, but I'm myself, so...
Yeah.
That's up to me.
All right. So...
Next up.
Next. Oh. Also next week, somewhat similar, next week we plan on calling up Walmart, those wonderful, wonderful people who just accidentally move in next to small businesses and destroy them slowly.
You know what, for everyone's, you know, dislike for Walmart, they do sell cheap products, and most of them aren't, like, cheap in quality, so.
Yeah.
Hey.
Cheap labor, cheap products, what can I say? But instead of being judgmental, we're going to call and ask them about that next week. And who knows? We might catch them saying something stupid like, well, the more you pay your employees, the less the product costs. Your older brother's being a bitch.
Yes.
Hey, tell him I said to go fuck himself. In fact...
Well, he just, like, ran stomping out because I asked him to leave because I'm on the freaking... Well, you know,
yeah.
I'm not on the radio, but...
Yeah, you're recording a radio show, and the radio show is more important than his life.
Exactly. I mean, what's he going to do down here? Sit and watch the TV on mute?
So. You do know that I'm leaving this in the show, right?
Go ahead. It makes good content.
Except I'm not going to let you drop your brother's dog, because that'd be kind of mean.
Well, I didn't tell him where, you know, we live.
Yeah. That's probably going to be bleeped out, too. No.
did you hear the door slam? He just left.
I didn't.
Oh, well, yeah. He's off somewhere.
All right. So I think next is you up with trashing.
Okay. I have absolutely no structure to this talk whatsoever because, you know.
Hey, digging through garbage, what kind of structure can you ask for?
Good point. Okay, so trashing. I know everyone's read text files about trashing before, and you're like, oh my god, that is so difficult. How the hell do people do it, you know? But I'm going to sit here and I'm going to tell you, because back when I was younger, you know, sophomore, junior, in high school, I used to do a fair bit of trashing, you know, because you're not cool unless you're digging through people's garbage.
And it helps you get the ladies.
Exactly. I mean, smelling like crab, you know how many girls I got. But, okay, so, you don't, I mean, when you say trashing, people think, oh, you know, digging through McDonald's dumpster in search of, you know, three-day-old fries or something. But no, that's not how you do trashing. You're selective about what garbage you dig through. But, so, let's say, you know, you want to get some information from your local CO, right? Your local central office, like, say, Verizon or something, and... You know, you want some free equipment or some local DATU numbers or something.
And you don't feel like calling up the Verizon truck
exactly.
to your house.
Or breaking into one of their trucks or calling the office and trying to SE it. There's a real easy way to do it. You just dig through their trash. Okay, you got to look for a garbage can that's not locked, first of all. Because, you know, you cut a lock and you're caught, that's pretty bad. So you look for an unlocked garbage can. You don't want it near any streetlights. I mean, this is all basic common sense stuff. Probably want to avoid cameras. And what me and my comrade used to do was we pull up across the street from a garbage can, right? Well, first we take a swing by just to see if it's full or if it's empty, because you can usually see like trash bags sticking out of the top. So if there's lots of good looking stuff in there, like equipment or you know stuff that looks good picking out the edge, then we'd usually swing around, park across the street, and one of us. We'd have, like, FRS radios or something, so one of us would take a radio, run across the street, and hide behind the garbage can, and the other one would, you know, say if the car was coming, and then you just take stuff out. I usually don't jump in, because, I don't know, I'm pretty...
Because it's a garbage can.
Well, plus it's a garbage can. It's full of crap. I mean, usually you think, it's a, you know, central office, what are they going to have in there? Oh, we found all kinds of gross stuff. Diapers, like, those microwave meals, and... coffee grounds, which you'd expect, but fucking diapers?
Yeah, because every operator has to change
it's
your
like,
baby at the central office.
Yeah. So, you know, out of, like, every 5 bags you pull out, one of them might have something worth keeping, like a cell phone or something like that. But you're going to go through a lot of crap before, you know, you actually find something good. And it gets really inconvenient sitting out there for, like, an hour sifting through garbage. So what we do is, if there's no one coming, he'd pull the car around to the garbage can. I'd grab, like, 5 of the best-looking bags, would shove them in the trunk, and just drive back to my house and sort it out in the garage. You know, I usually don't want to take it inside because your mom's going to get pissed off. And, oh, my God, my carpet! Or whatever, so. you just, it's for ease of, you know, looking through, and then...
So you're saying that you don't want to sort out the trash on your mom's bed?
No, that'd be a bad place to do it.
That'd be a bad place to do it?
Off and, yeah, you'd never touch a phone again, so.
I don't know. As much as people get along with your mom, I think that might be a good idea.
No, we're not going to do that. But yeah, that's pretty much it, you know. It's a perseverance thing. You got to stick with it. I mean, not every time are you going to find, you know, that Datsy number or that bag full of cell phones, but, like, in all the time I did it, which was over about a year and a half, I found probably 5 to 6 cell phones, you know. Most of them worked, only one didn't work. And most of them had the battery and everything, so, you know, that was pretty sweet. And, I don't know, I found lots of interesting papers, calling cards, stuff like that. And so, you know, it's not profitable, but it's worth it, I mean.
Yeah.
Especially if you just want to learn about, you know, the intricacies of your local phone system, you know, because a lot of the papers you find online, they'll talk about, you know, Verizon's policies nationwide or, you know, maybe regional, but to get the really local info, there's no better way.
Yeah. Trashing isn't only good for the freaker in you, though. It's I've heard stories of finding, like, lists of old passwords that the big, huge offices use, and they just print out password sheets or credit card numbers or weird shit like that, and they just drop them in the trash can.
Yeah, I mean, this was a Verizon office. We found patient records with social security numbers on them, too, but, I mean, I still have a box of them in my room. I mean, I...
You would have a
box
of them.
There's a box I know of that might have these in them, but I still have from, like, you know, what is it, 2 years ago, so...
Yeah, and the best thing about trashing is if there isn't a no trespassing sign and it isn't behind a fence, it isn't illegal.
Or logged.
Right. I'm guessing that would count as a fence.
And, you know, what's a cop going to do? The whole time I was trashing, I was never once stopped by a cop. I mean, they probably drove by, but, you know, they never hassled us at all, because what are you doing? You're digging through freaking trash. I mean,
it's theft.
Exactly. I mean, no one's going to care. Except in the town across from the town I live in, you know, Midnight knows what I'm talking about, but it's sort of much larger. There's about 30,000 residents there as opposed to, like, 5,000 in the town I'm in. And their central office is a little more difficult to trash there, because I've only successfully trashed there once. But even at midnight, I would go by there with my friend, and somebody would come out of the office if I lingered around the trash can too much. They're probably thinking I'm going to, you know, vandalize something, but you just got to be aware of stuff like
vandalize something and try to steal one of their trucks.
Yeah, break into one of their trucks, because their truck yard's right over there, too, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's pretty much it, but, I mean, if you use basic common sense, you'll be pretty good to go, so.
Yep.
Next up.
Well, we were going to talk about Decoder for a while, but we decided that it was none of our business.
Exactly, and people have come out lately, you know, saying he wants to keep it this private. And, you know, at first I was thinking, oh, my God, you know, it's Decoder. You know, somebody I've actually talked to in a situation like that. I want to do everything I could to help him. But, you know, I realized being in that situation, the best thing we can do to help him, let it go, you know. Just let it take its course and hope for the best. So that's what we're going to do.
Yep. So good luck, Decoder. And that's where I'm going to stay on. That's all I'm going to say on that issue. All
right.
So,
next up
on Slashdot, gotta love Slashdot.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, they're going to start implanting RFID tags on Japanese school kids.
You know, I don't see the problem here.
I do. Because it's the school. I mean, who trusts the school? how many pedo principals are out there who want to know where little Susie is every day?
Yeah.
Or since we're in Japan, little Sakuhiko.
Well, I haven't actually read the article, so that's what I'm doing right now.
Well,
I've probably done this before.
You probably should have, but especially since you had the topic a week ago.
Okay, they're on kids' school bags and name tags or clothing, right? They're not, like, implanted in the kids.
Well, the article actually wasn't that specific. Really, the only way to permanently implant an RFID tag is on, an anklet or a bracelet. And if it's on the bag, it's kind of freaking pointless, isn't it?
Well, it says the chips will be put on the kids' school bags, name tags, or clothing in one Yakiyama prefecture school. So, they're not chipping the kids directly, I mean. I don't know. I don't see such a big problem with that. You know, parents have had devices for years to try to keep an eye on their kids. Way back, you know, when we were younger, they had those little
leashes
on their kid that start beeping if they get without, you know, like 50 feet away or whatever. So,
I just think it's mysteriously like being treated like a dog.
Well, no doubt. I mean, they have leashes for kids. I just see this as a continuation of a trend that's already been going on for a while. So, I mean, it's nothing surprising to me. This is like the natural progression.
Yeah.
I don't have a big problem with it. I mean, I wouldn't do it to my kid, but it's not like it's happening in the U.S.
But what's the point of it, though? I mean, if it's on the bags or clothes or whatever, but let's say Johnny Pedo just drives down the street and there, little Johnny or little Susie is just walking along and they have an RFID tag on their bag. So
yeah,
why take the bag?
Is he going to have an RFID scanner just to, like, track down little, you know, Susie? That'd be a pretty smart pedo, but I
doubt it. Wouldn't be too hard.
I mean, it's the privacy is being invaded, definitely. I mean, would you want someone tracking you around wherever you go at school? No, but you know, at that age, the kids probably don't even care. They're like 6, 7, you know, they're just doing whatever their parents want. I mean, I didn't have a will of my own at that age. So, right now, I don't see a problem. I mean, it's happening there, yes, I don't agree with it, but does it really affect me, and is it really going to make me lose sleep at night? No, not so much.
Do you think that being RFID chipped as a little kid will make you more willing to be RFID chipped as an adult?
It's hard to say. I don't know. I mean, there's lots of stuff I did as a kid that I wouldn't be cool with now, like being forced to go to church. I mean, the minute I could say no, pretty much, I stopped, so I think it'd be the same way with some of them, but, you know, some of them would probably be chipped later on, you know, if it was asked of them, but I don't know. I think it's hard to say so soon. I mean, it hasn't even happened there yet. We're just talking about the future, so I think we should just, like, look back at this in the future and see what's going on.
Yeah.
But
next up is the Induce Act from our great friend and ally of the RIAA and the MPAA, and the Nazi Nationalist Party. Orrin Hatch. Senator Orrin Hatch, in fact. Wow, I have true faith in our elected officials.
What can you say? He's an old man, you know. He doesn't know how to deal with this. He thinks he does, which is so funny. I mean, and then he just says something that's totally awful and idiotic, but...
Well, for some background information for the listeners, the Induce Act is to protect our children. Yes, it's to protect our children. In case you can't detect the sarcasm in my voice, it's there. The Induce Act is supposed to prevent the evil, evil technology companies that are profiting from children breaking the law, such as peer-to-peer networks, let me think, anything that could be used to commit a crime that could be conceivably used.
Potentially.
Yes, potentially. But it's only on technology. Those of you who sell crowbars and bolt cutters don't have to worry about this quite yet, because people would think that was insane. In fact, people think this is insane.
But not the right people. We need to convince our lawmakers of this.
Yeah, I encourage and endorse everybody to call their senator, their representative, and if you don't live in the United States, well, you're lucky. I encourage you to call your politician.
You know, the average senator, what are they, 40, 50? They don't know jack about peer-to-peer networking, you know? I just hear piracy, you know, illegal. And it's like, oh, God, we need
and
to stop this. The
then,
corruption of our youth.
And then they see the big check arrive from the MPAA, and they must be right.
Well, I don't think it would end up like that, but I don't know. I just think you'd have to, like, have an on-par education system with, like, with all the stuff the RIA is putting out. You'd have to be able to put out just as much, you know, real accurate information. I don't think there's any group out there that can do that, not even the EFF, you know, because they don't have, like, all this money and industry backing them. They're a small little group compared to this large group, so, yeah.
And speaking of things I endorse you to go donate money to the Electronic Freedom Foundation at EFF.org.
Frontier, dude. Electronic Frontier Foundation. Okay, I'm sorry. Your wit is above me.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and
1 second.
I know.
10:30. So.
Call in to the bridge.
I will attempt the three-way. One moment, please.
All right.
If I get dropped, I'll call you right back.
All right. And up next, we have the PLA panel guests to talk about the Hope Conference, Murdoch and Big E.
I hear it.
Huh?
I hear somebody on the other line.
Hello?
Hold on, I hear hum.
Well, there's three of us in here. There's Midnight, there's me, and there's you.
The humming might be mine.
Yeah, I don't know. It's either a bad how you're recording, because it's fading in and out. Big E is on.
He's on here right now. He's just not saying anything?
I've been on
for quite a while, actually.
Okay, you dirty.
I called in at 1:15, no one was in here.
Well, not like 1:15, I called in like at 1:20, I think, 1:26 something, so I've been on for like 10 minutes.
Okay, well, introduce yourself, Murdoch, introduce yourself, and tell us what you're going to be talking about.
Do we have to?
Yes, you have to.
You do.
Okay. Hi, I'm Murdoch. Is that it? Is that good?
Yeah, well, Big E. Okay, this is Murdoch and Big E. They're going to be talking about HOPE, that the Hackers on Planet Earth, the conference that recently took place in New York City, like last week. Okay, so you guys,
mm-hmm.
I guess I'll come up with some questions. How did you enjoy the conference overall?
It was fast. Went fast.
Mad at all the political stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right on.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't like the political stuff.
Yeah, what was with the Hitler mustache and that big banner?
That wasn't supposed to, I asked about that.
No, that wasn't Hitler. It was George Bush.
No,
well,
he's saying the Big Brother's watching you thing.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? I mean, was there a particular point behind
it? The theme is 1984. Like, there's going to be a comic book that's going to be titled 1984, and that's just supposed to personify Big Brother, not, like, Hitler.
All right.
Yeah. I always thought it was George W. Bush, but, hey.
I don't think Bush has ever had
a mustache. But,
Have you seen that picture of the This Is Not Propaganda poster?
Yeah, I love that.
With the Fox News Channel thing reflected in it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's so cool looking.
It's an awesome picture.
That was on the wiki.
Yeah.
So, if you had, like, what was your favorite part of the conference overall?
I'd probably say easily my panel.
Your panel.
Okay, why don't you guys tell us about that? Why don't you guys tell us about the panel?
What do you mean, my panel? I was the one who spearheaded that little project.
Okay, so tell us about your panel.
It was, I don't know, it just went by real quick. We played some videos, played some prank calls.
What was it about?
It's about the Film Losers of America.
And who are they?
You know who the Film Losers of America are.
I know I do.
Everybody who listens is probably going to know who they are, because they're probably going to know about it from the site.
Well, for the one person who doesn't, who are the Film Losers of America?
All right, hang on. My computer is frozen. Open Windows XP. Film Losers of America, you know, a neophyte hacking freaking group into comedy. What have you. Lots of fun stuff.
Prank calls
and what have you.
Okay, so, Midnight, jump in anytime.
Jump in anytime?
I'm ready to hear some questions.
Hey, I'm not the PLA person.
I know you're not the PLA person, but the freaking other host.
Is the other host the silent partner?
It's quickly falling apart, so.
No, it's not. So you guys really, did you really like Hope?
Yeah, it was really fun. I'm glad I met a lot of cool people. And a lot of people that I didn't, you know before outside of, you know, IRC and shit.
Yeah.
Other than your panel, what other stuff did you like? Was there any speeches or?
The Hack Nano speech was really interesting for the few parts I saw. It was just like this guy, Jim Sips, who lives right by me and goes to the Allentown 2600 meetings and stuff, is about hacking nanotechnology. And he's, you know, he demonstrated this thing with a microwave and involved plasma rays and shit. And he did, like, live demonstration, which kind of freaked a bunch of people out. Gonzo's panel on non-lethal technology, which is about electromagnetic pulses, which is really ballsy to do, considering the heightened state of alert that we're in and, you know, the damage that EMPs can cause.
Yeah.
Good luck creating
one. Real ballsy, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, he like diagrams and stuff, too, on how you build it.
Yeah, he did.
Did either of you go to the social engineering panel?
I was in the NOC for the social engineering panel. I was listening to it while playing around on the network.
Yeah, I've listened to almost all of them online. They're all really good.
I missed out on a few panels that I kind of wanted to go to, mainly because, you know, I got in free and I didn't really mind, and, I don't know, a lot of chemicals going on.
Well, yeah, oh my God, Murdoch is the most insane / funny person when he is high. I can regale you with tons of stories. One of
regale, dude. I want to hear.
I heard about a pizza incident. Why don't you guys talk about that?
Okay, I want to tell you what Murdoch's like when he's high. First of all, he's sitting on the bed. Judas is contemplative because whenever he gets high, he starts talking about he's a musician, and that's like the most important thing in his life.
Uh-huh.
So my cousin's like, you know, we had this discussion last night too, and so, you know, Judas like, oh, I'm sorry. So Murdoch yells at her, "Holy crap, guys! Is it raining? Is it raining in here?" He's sitting on the bed.
I swear to God, I felt raindrops.
We're all like, Murdoch, stop. And then he's like, and then he goes out to buy his soda. He's like, "Do you think I should take my shoes off?" And he's not wearing any. Then he on the way out, there's a mirror, and he gets stuck by the mirror, and he just stands in the mirror for like 30 seconds, and we're like, "Can I get you soda?" He's like, "Oh, what? Where am I? Oh, soda. Right, soda. Okay.
Oh, that is
and
so
then,
great.
And then he sat there and was like, "Oh my God, I swore I saw the pipes just expanding in front of these
guys." Oh, God, yeah.
Building. Then there was a time he was hanging so far out the window, all I could see is the back of his leg, and that was kind of freaky.
Yeah, on the 16th floor.
On the 16th floor, I walk in and all I saw was Murdoch's boots and, like, the bottom of his legs. He was hanging so far out that window.
Oh my gosh.
I was hanging over 32nd Street, and I think I was throwing sweet and sour sauce packets.
Yeah. Me and my cousin made it rain our track, trading card.
Well, let me tell you about Big E getting slammed over on the DDP forums for not just Big E, but security in general. Security was pretty tight this conference. They were very enforcive of the fire marshal's occupancy, you know, limits. They wouldn't let me and Mike in, and a lot of people, they wouldn't let me and Mike or anybody in for the Kevin Mitnick panel. I tried to get in, and I was, like, looking at Big E because he was guarding the doors. I was like, "Yo, can I get in?" He was, like, shook his head real serious, like, "Hell no."
it was so
packed in that place, man.
Well, but, as the fire marshal drilled into our heads, the keynote room was rated for 724 people.
There was easily 1,000 people in it.
I know, but it was rated for 724 people. And, like, I was like, "I'll shut this thing down. It's unlawful to have this." And so then what he did is he made a compromise as long as no one was in the aisles. And then they had a security guard every door that he would let it go, you know? So So that was, I mean, it wasn't us just being like, yay, we're going to kick people out of the aisles, we're going to be idiots, we're going to, it wasn't like that. We were getting yelled at, and they were going to shut down the keynote. They were already doing it. They, like, literally almost shut down the Kevin keynote. That's what a simulcast was. But, I mean.
Actually, that simulcast was about, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes. I know the Wozniak keynote was 2 or 3 minutes behind what it was live, because we were upstairs for the Wozniak keynote, and we took the express down to 2, and we caught it in the movie room, and he was talking about shit like that he was talking about upstairs.
But do you want to know the best part? When he was done, and me and Tony and a few other security guards escorted him down to the place where he'd signed stuff, he walked by the movie room and saw himself talking.
Yeah.
And people saw it, but the reason they did that is because the network guys wanted a big buffer, so in case there was any problems.
Yeah, of course.
No, because there couldn't be so many problems, you know, with
one. Well, I think one of the funnier moments was in the movie room. They were showing the Lost Film Festival. I think this was on Saturday, like early Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Did you see that one with the LSD case study?
No, I didn't see all that.
Oh god, that was so funny. It was this 1960s LSD propaganda film, and this girl's talking like, the first time I dropped acid, I was at a party, and this guy's like, hey, do you want to try some acid? So I did. So we went on, you know, I dropped it, and we went on, you know, a downtown train to Market Street, and I bought a hot dog, and then I heard, and it shows, like, an image of a hot dog, and he peels his back, and there's a troll doll in it. And I swear to God, I thought I was doing acid at the time, because I was like, is that a fucking troll doll? And she's like, and the hot dog told me that I have a big hot dog family, and you can't eat me. And so I was like, oh, well, eat it anyway, and she ate it, and she bit off the head, and it was screaming, so she stomped on it, and she was like, I killed the hot dog, he doesn't have a family anymore. And I was like, in the 70s, they'd do anything not to, you know, get kids to do drugs.
Wow.
It was hopeful.
I fucking missed out.
Yeah, you did. You guys missed out, man. But I'll be at DEFCON in 05, so.
All right, cool.
So will I. Me and my cousin, once again, going to be security.
Yeah, there's not much security going on at DEFCON. It's more along the lines of, like, a bunch of pasty white kids in black shirts and, like, three girls, and then Roger Five
randomly girls?
Dying. Yeah, and then, like, Roger Five randomly dying fountains purple.
Oh, well, still, I kind of like being security because we were on top of everything. Once it happened, our radios went nuts.
Oh, yeah, that was me and Judas who made your radios go nuts.
Yeah,
and me and Cy.
Judas.
Yeah, Cy and I found the frequencies, which I still have written down on my computer.
I pretty much told him where the frequency was. Me and my cousin were standing down there holding down our keys so he could get it. It was in the 490. But
yeah, it was in the it's in the 490.
I know.
But
no problem. But like what we were doing is, since he wanted it, or since we wanted to give it to him, we really didn't care. We stood away and like depressed our keys, so we had an open carrier, so he was able to lock onto it.
Yeah, remember when, what was it, we were riding down in the elevators and I grabbed your radio and just started fucking,
yeah.
You're owned, we owned your freaks.
And then you're like, I want a cookie or something.
Yeah, yeah, and I was like, you can't have my chocolate chip cookies and shit. And people are like, what the fuck? Get off our radio, asshole. All right, we're switching over to B. Everybody,
right,
switch over to B. You guys, I think, well, it was Saturday, like, late Saturday, you guys got owned. Oh, did you hear about the screens and the elevators got owned as well?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
For about 5 minutes, they broadcasted the beginning of Freedom Downtime.
Why the hell does the Hotel Pennsylvania put up with this?
No, you got to understand.
The amount of money they get?
We all dropped about $2.5 million on that hotel.
Yep, easy.
I guess. Money is
easily, yeah. Money, like, hackers had the run of that hotel. Like, anything goes with Walt.
Well, actually,
with the hackers.
Actually, I was reading a memo and told all the staff to go during the time of this conference. Didn't
you fucker, me? Dude! I told you about that memo.
You didn't.
Yes,
Hairball
I did.
Hairball told me about it. And Hairball sent it to me.
Okay, so what did the memo say?
It pretty much it's a disregard underage drinking, disregard like sleeping outside of rooms, disregard room sharing. It pretty much a disregard everything.
which is why Hairball slept on 18.
Back away from your phone, Murdoch.
The grossest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wasn't that really fat guy?
Yeah, was walking on to 18 and seeing Hairball like splayed out.
What the hell
little,
was up with that? He had like
CDs
sitting
corner.
On the ground all around him.
He has these short shorts on and his shirt rolled up.
It was so gross.
Just from the pictures I saw, maybe it did not.
No. There's pictures of it. On the DVD.
Yeah, I saw.
I took a lot of Hairball like splayed out pictures too, but.
I think everybody did.
Yeah. Well, the first night I slept on a table.
Yeah, we didn't want you crashing in our room after that thing you did.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
What happened?
We went to go pick up Hairball, or fucking Hairball, Big E, at Penn Station.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, going up to the room, he's like, can I hit the door? And I was like, hit, like, knock on.
Uh-huh.
Well, he goes, bam, 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 on the door. Me and Judas, like, run down the hallway. We don't want to see this shit when Rob opens the door. And Rob was like, what the fuck, guy? Like, WTF, mate. And me and Judas are like, holy shit. Sorry, Rob. And, like, I guess Big E and, like, Tony parked their shit in our room and then, like, went down to go check out, like, two. And, me and Rob and, like, Judas were like, holy shit, what the fuck was that all about? Yeah.
Wonderful.
I mean, that was big, but somehow you redeemed yourself that weekend, and then I ate your pizza, and it was my fault somehow.
Well, no, you... I really...
And then Tony came up behind me, I was like, shit, what the fuck did I do?
I was talking to
Sub-Zero and Wintermute, and all of a sudden, fucking you and Big E fucking behind me.
No, what it was is that, like, that is the thing that will piss him off more than anything else in the world.
Well, not to mention, you got the fucking pizza for free.
What?
He said all security guys get free pizza and free, whatever.
Oh, no, we did, but that we actually went out and bought that because we were sick of the little Sbarro pizza they were feeding us.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. So, I mean, if it was for free, the thing with him, though, I mean, you could do that with anything. He doesn't care. That'll piss him off more than anything else in the world. That's just him. I really didn't care that much.
It's because he's a fucking Dago.
Thank you. That's mainly because we had free pizza, beer, and everything else down at security, so I really didn't care.
Oh, no, that party at the fucking Emmanuel's room, man. You want to talk about that? All I get a call from Judas. I'm like, laying on the bed, like, tripping out, and Judas calls me. He's like, yo, Murdoch, come down to the party. It's really hopping, porn displayed on the walls. And I was like, I'm not in the position to be moving anywhere. I'm like, Mike's lying on top of me, and I can't move to begin with. I can only move, like, my upper body. And he's like, oh, come down here. It'll be awesome. And, like, Mike's like, don't go down there. Fuck that. Yeah. But what happened was, Farr came up to me Friday night. Friday afternoon, even. During the keynote. And he was like, oh, Murdoch, hey. I was like, oh, he's like, yo, he gives me the Hacker Halfway House, their new business cards that has, like, information on the back and shit. And he's like, there's a party this Saturday at the Triple H Ranch, but there's a party tonight in Emmanuel's room. What was it, like, 445A? 402A. Yeah, 402A. And
yeah.
He gives it in 402A. And I was like, oh, is it a big room? He's like, well, imagine three large rooms put together. I was like, shit. And so I was like, oh, I'll be there. And then I didn't go, but Judas tells me that there were, like, what, 200 kids there, you think?
Well, yeah, it depends, because
yeah.
When me and Tony were leaving the elevator, we smelled the stench of cheap liquor. And
there was so much cheap liquor.
And so then I'm like, smells like South Beach, so he's like, not yet. So then we turn the hall, and the sign says 402 to, like, 480, something. So we turn the hall. And then there's a smoke deck of pot smoke, which means, the top 3 feet of the ceiling you couldn't see through. It was just pot smoke. And so we're like, yep, smells like South Beach. So we pretty much cram in there. There's no room at all. I mean, it's like a standing-up game at Twister. It's horrible. We make our We make our way to the back corner where there's a trash can full of cheap liquor and orange juice concentrate. If you wanted to drink...
That's called Bucket, by the way.
Yeah, whatever. If you wanted to drink, you would you dip a cup, or I saw kids dipping like empty cans in there, whatever. Then, for some reason, they ripped the beds out, threw it in some room, and turned on the shower to have all the steam, and then they started projecting porn on the walls, and then the girls jumping down, up and down on the bed, and all of a sudden, all security's radios goes nuts. I'm like, is anyone in the room? Is anyone in the room? We're like, what room? And we can't hear. As we're pretty much, security was partying, then we had to bust our own party, which kind of sucks.
Yep. Security came in and set everyone out.
Yeah, yeah, sounds like an exciting
time. Keep walking.
I was in the room and in security, so like for one second I was like drinking and everything, and the next second I'm like, okay, everybody out. Kind of funny.
All right, you guys, it's been awesome having you guys on here, and it's nice to hear about Hope. You know,
certainly we've improved your little radio show.
Oh yeah, you mean the greatest radio show ever.
That doesn't have a name.
This is just what the world needs, is another fucking hacker phone and radio.
Fuck you, Murdoch. Shut your fucking
No, I didn't mean it like that.
Well, just cooperate then.
Okay, I got a story. So I was going to get Kevin Mitnick to sign my copy of 2600, the Freedom Downtown copy, from summer 2000. And I was shut up, Biggie. All right, So I was talking to him, and I'm waiting in line, and he's like, oh, my God, Kevin, it's nice to finally meet you. And he's like, yeah, it's nice. I'm like, well, will you sign my copy of 2600? He's like, sure. He's like, sign it. He's like, what's your name? And I'm like, Murdoch. And he's like, he kind of looked at me funny, and he goes, Murdoch, you're the guy who fucking trashed my eBay auction.
You still remember that?
I was like, oh my God, Kevin, please don't kill me. And he's like, he kind of laughs. He's like, my girlfriend wants to talk to you. And I was like, wow, I thought you were going to like jump across the table with a knife or something. And I was like,
That was like a year ago. Oh my gosh.
And he was like, no, hold on, I'm not done. And he was like, I was like, yeah, I remember I called you on the conference and I said I was sorry. And he was like, yeah, I totally remember. It's all cool now. And I was like, oh, good. I thought you were going to kill me. And he's like, well, the weekend's not even done yet. And then he went on to the next person.
Right on.
And I was like, right on, Kevin.
Let's have some structure here. Midnight, why don't you, your shout?
I have no shouts tonight.
All right. Hey, Murdoch?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Angela Gunn from USA Today for being so sexy. She was a hot little USA Today reporter. And I say this is a gay man.
Alright.
Shout outs to, of course.
He was ugly.
Shout
Don't interrupt, Biggie.
No, shout out to Biggie for being so sexy.
Thank you.
That's it. Now, Biggie, go ahead.
Hackster Radio, hackstorradio.com.
Alright.
Dude, Hackster Radio sucks ass.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Johnny Hackster licks my ass.
Okay.
I'm gonna give my shout to, I don't know. Fucking all the people over at Cal's, I guess.
You fag.
Shut up. I didn't interrupt you. Okay.
Pot calling kettle.
Since you broke my concentration. Big
okay.
Dirty you. All right.
See you later. All right. Bye,
see
everybody.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye, fuckers. God, what a bunch of fucking idiots, man. They
Shut
can't
up.
Run a video show to save their life.
Shut
up. Good evening. Welcome to 1-800-555-CAL. Main menu. Here are all the categories you can choose from. When you hear the one you want, just say it. Stock quotes. News center. Sports. Entertainment. Travel. And popular shortcuts.
Popular shortcut.
Okay, popular shortcuts. When you're done there, say main menu. You can get direct access to some of our most popular services by saying any of these shortcuts directly from the main menu. Here are all the shortcuts you can choose from. When you hear the one you want, just say it. Weather, traffic, movies, horoscopes, soap operas, driving directions, taxi, time, blackjack, lottery, announcements.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Fuck you, bitch. Stop talking.
I didn't get that. Please say one of our categories.
You're a dumb bitch.
Do you ever feel angry? Are you paralyzed by your anger? Do you feel yourself with butterflies in your stomach a lot? Do you get headaches? Are you really frustrated? Do you ever get to the point where you're going to blow up and you're afraid that if you blow up, you're going to blow away all your friends and all your coworkers? Chances are, all of this behavior is a symptom of the fact that you're not expressing your anger. We can assertively express our anger if we handle our anger assertively. We complain and complain and complain. I'm angry. So what do? I want rage. I want to go home. I want sex. I want a cookie. I want rage. I want to go home. I want sex. I want a cookie.